episode 103 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the film 10 Cloverfield Lane, as well as the new trailers for Ghostbusters and Captain America Civil War. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or search us out on Facebook, find our page, and like us.
Or just come find us and talk to us.
We're have pretty available. We're usually at the movie theater. Yeah. So if you're a regular listener, all three of you, and you remember last episode, we promised that we would have our Naked Gun Spectacular today. Unfortunately, our two guests couldn't make it today, so
we will postpone that until,
like Peyton Manning, we just called an audible.
we will do that sometime in the near future.
Omaha. So we saw 10 Cloverfield Lane. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the trailers for Ghostbusters and Captain America Civil War. The new Captain America Civil War.
Right. The full trailer. Yeah.
And of course, all the fanboys are online saying, well, this is doing almost 100 million views and Batman and Superman only got this and blah, blah, blah. And my thinking is like, well, that's funny because in the comic book world, Marvel always outsells DC, so I'm really not surprised.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's okay. They can both exist, and they can both be good.
Yeah.
It's okay, everybody. Some movie news, I guess. Christopher Nolan is beginning
his new project.
Beginning work on Dunkirk,
yep.
Which is going to be a World War II movie. This will be his first... I mean, I guess Memento, you could say, was grounded, and Insomnia, too.
He's done
grounded work, but more recently than not, it's been mainly sci-fi.
Clearly, it's been sci-fi recently with the Dark Knight trilogy, or
Inception. And Prestige, and Interstellar.
Yeah, Prestige was a good mix. It was kind of the hook was sci-fi, but the most of the movie was pretty grounded.
Right. So he's casting, I think Tom Hardy's in it.
Yep.
And I forget who else is in it. There's somebody else, a big name. Ray Fiennes, I think, is in it. I could have sworn it's
Ray
Fiennes.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
And but for the majority of the cast, like the main leads, I think he's casting unknowns for the most part. So he's going to start shooting that, I think, this year. It comes out next year.
Look forward to that.
It'll be interesting to see what he does after Interstellar.
Yeah.
Because some people were disappointed with Interstellar, so.
That was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I thought it was good. There were a few plot holes here and there, like with The Dark Knight Rises, but
But it was a very enjoyable movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really pulled you in. Yeah.
I feel like the only one I haven't really dug as much is Insomnia.
And that's interesting because that's not even really his movie. Right. Like that's
makes sense. Yeah.
Prestige was based on a novel as well, but he did adapt the screenplay, I think. Either him or maybe Jonathan did.
Right.
But Insomnia was a movie where Warner Brothers was like, hey, will you direct this for us? And he was like, okay, so.
It was fine. I just didn't pull me in like most of these movies do. Like,
it was an interesting film because, you know, you find out as you're going along that, ooh, I really shouldn't be rooting for that guy. He's slimy. I shouldn't be rooting for him.
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah! He wasn't as virtuous as he was in Heat.
Mm-mm. Or Scent of a Woman.
Okay. Slow down. On the crossover podcast, Matt and I discussed the fact that Gambit is no longer on the release schedule for Fox.
That's right.
Because Gambit sucks.
No, that's not why.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's because Deadpool made so much money. Now they don't need Gambit.
Pretty well, yeah.
So Matt argued
But he's not... what's his face hasn't dropped out of the project?
I don't think so. But the problem is now.
Originally, he had dropped out.
Right. And then obviously, what happened? Clearly, the reason is part of it is because Deadpool made so much money. So now they're like, well, we don't really need Gambit.
We can hold off.
Right now, we can hold off. But the other thing is too is that the time frame was so compressed. They were never going to finish that movie in time.
Right.
They could have maybe done it, but it was going to be
at least maybe they're going to try to do it right.
I guess, but then Matt thinks that they're just going to.
Oh, just get rid of it altogether,
and then they'll just roll him into X-Men.
They could,
which is what I think they should do too. Yeah. They should, All the X-Men characters should be introduced in X-Men movies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounded like they were maybe trying to get on a kick of doing these origin type of stories merging them in, but
Because Deadpool...
I like Gambit from... Not from, again, my viewpoint is just from the cartoon. Only.
Right.
I like Gambit, but he certainly doesn't need his own standalone movie.
No, he doesn't. And I think... I don't even think he can carry his own standalone
movie. Right, honestly. It'd be odd.
But the other thing that's going to happen now with Channing Tatum is that the news kind of after that came out was that Sony is going to do another 21 Jump Street, except now it's going to be crossover with Men in Black.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen is that it's not going to be Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. I think if I read it correctly, the premise is basically going to be that Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are going to be the Men in Black. And they're basically going to get absorbed.
So they're not like working with the Men in Black.
I think they're going to become Men in Black, which is awesome. I think that's a great concept.
I mean, yeah. it's an odd concept to begin with.
Oh, yeah,
so, however they go with it. But I love those 21 Jump Street movies.
They're hilarious. They're really, really
good. The second one was even funnier than the first one.
Yeah. So there's that. And that's basically it. There's not a ton of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, no, it's pretty quiet on the movie front these days, except for this week where we got, well, I guess maybe talk about Ghostbusters first, which was last week.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Let's talk about the trailers first, and then we'll talk about 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, so...
So the Ghostbusters trailer came out, I guess, last week.
Yeah, well, when this comes out, probably almost 2 weeks.
We'll see. It'll probably be short, so I'll probably be able to edit it pretty quick. Okay.
So, yeah, the Ghostbusters trailer dropped. It's a new Paul Feig directed and written
movie. Yeah, Paul Feig, and it's co-written by Katie Dippold, who wrote The Heat. And she was in Spy in a small part. And it stars Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, and Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Chris Hemsworth plays...
He'll play the...
Janine. I saw the first trailer. Now, there's two trailers that are out. There's the domestic trailer and the international trailer.
We'll talk the domestic trailer.
We'll talk the domestic trailer first. So, the domestic trailer came out, and it's really bizarre because this is supposed to be a reboot, but yet they're still trying to tie it to the old film in the trailer.
Well, it's... I know we said we'll talk about this last, but they specifically do it in the international trailer.
Yeah. Well, no, they did it. They did in domestic too.
That opening was in too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They changed it from, and actually the international trailer is more right. They said four scientists, you know, saved the world, which actually isn't true because technically Winston wasn't a scientist.
Right.
He was supposed to be in the original script. Yeah.
That was an interesting story.
Ernie Hudson was pissed.
He was very mad.
He was pissed because he thinks the reason why they changed is because Eddie Murphy was supposed to play his part. Yeah. And then they changed his whole role.
They cut his role basically
down to like a supporting
character.
Because
he wasn't Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Yeah.
That was shitty. Because I think it could have been cool if they had done it the other way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with the trailers, they kind of try to tie it to the original movie.
Well, literally, it starts out 30 years ago.
Right, yeah.
And then it's like, now we've got a new breed. It's like, well, is it a reboot? Or is it a sequel? Is it a sequel?
Or like a spinoff, you know?
Yeah, what is it? Is it going to take place in a universe where the original Ghostbusters were there?
And they even showed the firehouse. They even showed the firehouse.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure.
I don't know. So, and then the trailer plays out, and it's very, I mean, like, people complained about, like, Star Wars, The Force Awakens being, like, nods to the original Star Wars. This one is, like, almost like...
Well, yeah. I mean, the first scene in the trailer is with the library ghost.
Or I think it's in a museum this time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. There's three of them there. They're videotaping the ghost, and one approaches them, and then the ghost comes at her. And, you know, and I'm just like, this is exactly like the original movie. And
talk
then,
to her, Ray.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Get her, Ray. And then it goes on a little bit, and they talk a little bit about the plot, what's going on, that they're going to form Ghostbusters. And then Leslie Jones knows them somehow, I guess, and then she just kind of shows up and says, I'm joining the team. And so she's kind of like almost exactly like Winston a little bit.
Which annoys – well, I shouldn't say it annoys me yet. It depends on what they have her role be. Like,
right.
Like, honestly, this day and age, they should make her a scientist, too. Don't,
right.
They shouldn't have her as a one-off.
Now, Leslie Jones came out defending it, and she was just like, she's just like, get over it, people. She's like, you know, it's just a freaking movie, you know, relax, okay? You know, so my kind of feeling about it is, if she's okay with it, fine. I'm just pissed that...
Well, no offense, but of course she's okay with it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, she's not beating down her doors for movie roles. Of course she's going to be okay with a blockbuster movie role. Come on.
That's like Henry Cavill said the other day. He goes, I'm not just in this for the art. The pay is fantastic. Right. I mean, see? There's your honest Superman, people.
But I agree with what a friend of ours said. I'm just not sold on the Leslie Jones character because she seems so one-dimensional. On Saturday Night Live, whatever she's playing.
Right.
She can be funny, but it's a one-dimensional character. She's the mad black woman.
Well, that's basically, and Paul Feig basically confirmed that. He said, I took her stand-up act, and I wanted her to become, like, to have this juicy role. Because her role was supposed to be played by Melissa McCarthy, apparently.
Right.
And then he said, he flipped it, because he's like, that was Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids.
Right.
So now, and
she's more toned down now.
Right. She's more like Kristen
Melissa
Wiig.
McCarthy, yeah. You know, and again, you're right. It may not necessarily be her fault that's how she's typecast, but it would certainly like to see some kind of depth in her character.
Right.
Not saying we don't get that just from the trailer.
Right.
We don't see that.
And then in the trailer, they also kind of say that, somebody is doing something to
increasing the
spiritual activity or something like that. So it looks like there will actually be. I mean, I guess you could say Peck was a human villain in the first Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but this will be more sinister.
More directly connected to the plot. Yeah. He was more of a side villain that caused the problem.
Yeah, the part I already know I hate about this movie that's in the domestic trailer is the whole possession angle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a terrible angle to go at with the Ghostbusters. And look, again, I am very odd about my choices and what I decide to get mad at because clearly this is a fake movie.
Right.
It's a sci-fi movie. It doesn't exist in the realm of real life. However, like in the trailer, you see Melissa McCarthy get possessed and then you see her head do a complete 360 spin around. It's like, okay, well, she's dead now.
But see, what about...
No. She's dead now.
But what about The Exorcist?
I agree. I'm just saying. Okay. Like I said, it's weird when I decide to get mad at these things. Right. But it's like, okay, well, she's clearly dead now.
Right.
Like, you don't unpossess her and then just have her walking around normal because she's dead.
Right. I thought the scene was funny.
I didn't like that scene at all. And there are plenty of funny scenes in the trailer, by the way.
That's the thing. It's unfunny. Like I felt that the domestic trailer got funnier as it went, but I liked the international trailer a lot better because the international trailer has the opening, you know, 30 years ago, yada yada yada.
Well, Spider-Man shows up in that one, so that's
different trailer.
Oh, okay.
But then when they cut to like this museum scene, it's real quick. Like it's Kristen Wiig. She just goes, "Hi, I'm a doctor," and then they throw up on her. And I thought that was better. Like the faster cut was funnier.
And they didn't use the possession angle in the international.
They didn't put that in there. No.
None of it.
And then honestly, I like the scene. They go to a concert, and then like Melissa McCarthy goes, "Patty, that's Leslie Jones. You take that side. I'll take that side. Okay." And then Melissa McCarthy does a crowd surfing.
Yeah.
And then Leslie Jones goes, "Here I come!" And she jumps back, and they just let her fall. And she goes,
"I don't know if that was a
lady
thing
or a race thing, but I'm mad as hell."
Yeah. Again, just angry black woman.
Exactly.
But it was funny.
But the funniest part for me though was Chris Hemsworth because he plays the receptionist. And then she says, Melissa McCarthy goes, "I had him come up with a few logos for us." And he basically draws a ghost with giant boobs. And he goes,
"Y'all have a problem with that? I can make them bigger."
"You can see why this would make us look bad." He goes, "Oh, is it the boobs? Because I can make them bigger."
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Which that's not in the domestic trailer.
Right? No, that's the international trailer. Which you can find on IMDb. If you go to IMDb, you can find the book.
The international trailer is way funnier for me. But again, a trailer, it kind of goes to show you what a trailer can do for a movie. However, the movie is still the movie.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the parts that I didn't like about the domestic trailer
are
still going to be in the movie.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, Kevin Smith came out and kind of bashed the trailer.
Really?
He said he hated it. He thought it was terrible. He said whoever cut that trailer should, you know, he's not calling for their head, but they should definitely be scolded because it was a terrible cut of a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's not drawing any conclusions about the movie, which he sure will be funny with all these funny people in it.
Right.
But he said it was a terrible, he agreed it was a terrible trailer.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't, the domestic trailer did not grab me. The international one grabbed me more.
The funny thing is, for so many callbacks to a movie,
mm-hmm.
it didn't get you excited about that old feel of the right. original movie, right?
Well, so, yeah, and I think because a lot of that has to do with the people who are in it. It's about sure. Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. Yeah. You know, it's about them more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. I have faith.
Yeah, I hope that it'll be funny.
I remember The Heat, when they put out the trailers for that, I wasn't too thrilled with those trailers, and that movie's hilarious.
Yeah.
But also...
Oh, for a second there, I thought you said Heat.
No,
I was like, yeah, that comedy romp that is Heat.
The Heat. But I will say what The Heat had going for it that Ghostbusters does not is that The Heat was R-rated. So it had a wider berth to be funnier, you know, yes. raunchier, something like that. Whereas right. Ghostbusters is going to have to be like in a narrow.
I understand why they're doing that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Oh, no, I would never expect Ghostbusters to be rated R.
Of course.
But I'm just saying, coming from an angle saying, ooh, they didn't really show me a lot of funny in those trailers. It's like The Heat, they kind of can't because right. they can only put so much into a trailer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ghostbusters.
And now, look, that being said, I'm a big proponent of less trailers and don't show me the funniest parts in the trailer.
Right, yeah,
So, I hold out hope for the movie, and I'm sure it'll, even if it's a miss, it won't be a complete miss. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure I'll enjoy it enough to, well, no, I won't say watch it again, but for a sequel, clearly, this will have a sequel.
Maybe. We'll see.
They're probably already working on it.
Probably, but, you know, look what happened with Fantastic
That's
Four.
True. Well,
you know.
Well, that Fantastic Four is just doomed from the get-go. Anywho,
so there was another trailer that came out
really
last week.
Really big trailer.
Really big trailer, finally. And Matt and I had recorded the crossover podcast. And we're like, hey, man, when's that trailer coming out? I don't know. And then sure enough, like, 2 days later, it came out. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I was like, we just talked about this. The trailer for Captain America Civil War, the final trailer, we're assuming.
Fucking better be the final trailer. Enough is enough.
Came out for Captain America Civil War. It does, it gives a little bit more of the plot, I guess, a little bit, sort of.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. It's kind of hard to distinguish when you know the plot already.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about it for so long.
Yeah.
What it really does and doesn't do for a general audience.
Right.
Know. But yeah, it definitely lends a little bit more credence to the teams.
Yeah.
The factions that will exist.
I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, I'm excited for the movie. I want to see it. I know it's going to be good because it's the Russos. It's Marvel. They do a good job. But the trailer just didn't really excite me. Like I watched Batman Superman trailer again last night, the last one they just did. And when Wonder Woman comes on the screen, I'm just like, yeah, I can't fucking wait for Wonder Woman. You know, it's going to be great. You know, and then I watched the Civil War trailer.
Not enough boobs in the Civil War trailer?
Not enough boobs in the Civil War trailer.
Yeah.
But anyway, I can make them bigger. But Civil War, you know, I watch it. I'm like, okay, this looks like, okay, that's cool, I guess. You know, that, all right. But then, you know.
I kind of like that final scene in the trailer where it shows them finally coming head to head at the I guess it's a tarmac or somewhere like that.
It's funny, somebody wrote online, they were like, I'm sorry, I can't help but be reminded of the opening to X-Men cartoon when they're just into Big X.
Yeah.
So as long as the story, because, and I think part of it too, it's not just because of the movie. It's because if it has a lot to do with the Civil War plotline from the comics, that comic series didn't really do it for me either. Like, okay. It was just like that. It was annoying, that comic book series, honestly, because what they did is they had like the main series, it's about like 6 issues or something like that, 6 or 8 issues, but they forced you to read all the side books because the main story was picking up stuff from the other books, and then like you're reading like this disjointed story as you're reading the whole thing. You're just like, this is garbage, and it's just,
maybe that's because you didn't read the side stories.
Well, I wasn't gonna pay $5,000 for comic
books.
Well,
I'm sorry, that's your own fault then.
Yeah, it's my fault. Fucking Marvel. You know, so
good marketing.
Yeah. Now they're doing Civil War 2 on Marvel Comics. Fuck you. So,
oh, are they?
Yeah, they are. In the trailer, it shows more about, you know, how, I guess, Bucky figures in. It looks like it's more of a fight about Bucky than it is maybe about the political differences between Iron Man and Captain America. That's definitely going to play into it. Oh, right,
right. See, I think the way I interpreted it is that Bucky's kind of the catalyst
mm-hmm.
for everything, right?
Right.
So, I get the feeling that out of all the movies so far, where there's all the destruction of a city, a whole fucking
right.
Island that they, you know, whatever, right. whatever that's called again.
Sokovia,
yeah. Kind of like the whole idea of Superman with everyone getting mad, but some people mm-hmm. like him, some people don't.
Right.
And then I think with the whole Bucky thing, that is kind of the tipping point.
Right.
When Captain America takes it upon himself to do what he thinks is right by Bucky, as right. opposed to what everyone else thinks Bucky deserves.
Right.
And I think that's the way I read the trailer.
Yeah.
That's kind of the tipping point. And then the government gets involved with the help of Tony Stark.
Right.
And says, look, we've got to do something about this.
I did like how they teased I think it's called the Vault, which is like a super, super powered prison, basically. That thing that rose out of the yeah. ocean. I like how they tease that, because if the Avengers break apart after this movie, that could lead into, they did a book called New Avengers after they broke the Avengers apart one time. And they did New Avengers, where it was Iron Man, Cap, Wolverine, Spider-Man. Obviously Wolverine wouldn't be in any movie. Nah. Luke Cage was in it, Spider-Woman. And they became the New Avengers. And the catalyst for that was there was a breakout at the Vault. And then they had to round up the supervillains. So they might be going that way a little bit, maybe.
At least they leave themselves open to it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So I did like that. You know, Black Panther looks cool. Yeah.
But again, it's not like that was a reveal. We've already seen him.
And I really liked this, the real brief clip where they show Scarlet Witch fighting the Vision. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, where she has the Vision.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You know, but he'll win that.
No, he won't. She has magic. No, she has magic. You can't beat magic.
He can do anything.
No,
he's Vision.
No,
he's Vision. I don't know why he was in the background at the end anyway. Like, put him up front.
You know what he can't do? Anything a spider can. Because then at the very end of the trailer, we finally get our first look at Tom, well, I'll put it in quotes, Tom Holland, CGI.
Yeah, it was so CGI. Spider-Man. For me, it felt a little off in the trailer. Like, it just didn't quite...
I'll tell you what feels off to me, and I kind of said this to Matt because he was posting about the trailer. He loved it. And
of course he did.
I said, I got to be honest. You know, the look of Spider-Man's fine. I mean, he looks like classic 70s Spider-Man.
Definitely. Older throwback.
Spider-Man. Yeah. But then again, my friend Tom, he pointed something out. Because everyone's saying he looks like John Romita Sr., who was like a longtime artist on Spider-Man.
Right. Well, his
design.
Is it his son the one that did it?
I don't know. Maybe.
This one? Okay.
But then my friend pointed out there's another artist named Terry Dodson who drew some Spider-Man series at some point. I forget what series it was. Much more recently, and he goes, look at this picture. I'm like, oh yeah, he does look like that Spider-Man too. So it's kind of like a mix, I think, between the two of them.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man, the one thing that's really strange about his costume. And it looks fine. I mean, I still like the Amazing Spider-Man 2 costume the best. I love that costume. I thought they totally nailed it. This one, the spider is really
small.
Really, really small. Yeah, I'm like, that's weird. And then he also has expressive eyes like Deadpool, but it sounds like they're like high-tech eyes. Like it's part
like,
of the
almost
mask.
Almost like a lens.
Yeah. But the
which
thing,
honestly, it better be. Because otherwise, you know, it's like, it's a mask.
Yeah.
You can't really be.
Yeah, and Deadpool, it works because Deadpool's supposed to be absurd.
Correct.
Like, this doesn't work like
so
that.
So it needs to really have function of the mask. Because if it's just a mask, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that really bothered me about Spider-Man in the trailer was that it's clearly a CGI person.
Yeah.
But it's the body of a man. But when he talks, he sounds like a little kid. Right. And I know they wanted to skew young with Peter Parker and Spider-Man in this, but that just doesn't jive.
Golly, jeepers, it's yeah, right. Spider-Man.
It's like it just doesn't jive. Like it didn't sound right. Now we'll see. We'll see how the rest of the movie is. I'm sure he's going to do fine.
I mean, my problem. I was in the camp where I was really hoping that they wouldn't show.
They shouldn't show him at all.
Trailer. I wanted. Yeah. To, I knew they would, of course, but I was really. I would rather have seen a Spider-Man reveal on the big screen.
Well, somebody made a good point online. See, if they were releasing this movie like they're doing, I was gonna say Man of Steel, like they're doing Batman Superman, where it's gonna be same day, you know, world, you know, worldwide day and date, then they could have done that. But Civil War is coming out like a week early somewhere else in the world before it comes out here, and maybe somewhere even before that. So it's opening at different dates all over. So
of course,
I think,
it would jump on the internet.
I think that's what they wanted to get ahead of it. Right, they want to get ahead of that.
They wanted to be the one to reveal it rather than just Joe Schmo posting
than some shitty cell phone you know, picture.
But still, it's a shame that you can't have those reveals on the screen anymore.
Yeah,
you know, just this day and age, because that was, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine how great it would have been if the internet didn't exist in this case and you didn't know that they made a deal with Sony.
Right.
And you didn't know that they had acquired the rights to Spider-Man. Right. And you just go in to see the movie and you're thinking, man, I can get to see Spider-Man on here. Even though, and then he just shows up and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
But you won't get that.
But that'll never happen ever again. Ever again.
but no, I thought the trailer was fine. I mean, like you and Matt, being the comic book guys, have more invested in this than I do, but it seems like it'll be a good storyline for a movie at least.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't that great in the comics, but it definitely lends to something that will fit in a Avengers style storyline. Right. Which again, this is an Avengers fucking movie. It's not just a Captain America. I mean, they're definitely trying to make it more centric to Tony Stark and Steve Rogers for sure. But it's an Avengers movie.
I mean, my thing is like it's like I said, I like the trailer too. It looks the movie looks good. It just didn't really get me excited for the movie.
I understand. Yeah. They did some cool shots in there.
Oh yeah,
they had
sure.
with Hawkeye shooting Ant-Man.
Because that's a classic cover where he's got Ant-Man on the tip of the arrow.
Yeah, so that was cool.
That was cool. That was neat. I think part of it is too is like, you know, because I have gotten really excited for the Marvel movies before, but I think another part of it is too is that as far as Marvel comics go, I'm just a bigger X-Men fan. So it's just like, you know, the Avengers were never really my thing. I like the Avengers, but it's like it's Wolverine and the X-Men and, you know, all that stuff. And
we need Matt here to tell. Avengers.
Right, so exactly. To take the Avengers
beat
block.
His drum for the Avengers for them, block. Yeah. But, I mean, it's no doubt it's going to be an action-packed movie. It's going to be a good movie, I think. But, you know, they redo a lot of scenes that were already in the teaser trailer, like with War Machine and Iron Man.
Right.
Kind of, getting all mad, like, oh my god,
in a loving embrace,
right? So,
caressing gently.
my guess is he'll retaliate with beating up Falcon a little bit.
Maybe. Got to be honest too, though. Didn't like that Underoos line either.
Oh, hey, Underoos. Well, it's okay. Here's my problem with that. I tend to agree with you. All right, I'm not sure how that scene gets set up in the movie,
right?
But honestly, like, it would seem to me that it's, like, pretty fucking serious. Like, they're on the verge of war, if you will.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like the general should be making jokes, even if he is Tony Stark.
That's Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Because, as Tony Stark. It's not Tony Stark anymore. Right. It's Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
So, I wasn't thrilled with that line. I didn't really like it. I was like, that's cheesy. But also, the other thing is, too, do they have Underoos in that universe? Who is on the Underoos? There's no comic book heroes. They're real life. Who? I don't have Obama on Underoos. My Underoos, the real life people. No,
thanks a lot, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Did you hear about that at South by Southwest?
Because he did the speech, right?
Yeah, but he did like an interview and he was talking about like stuff that they've accomplished and stuff like that. And then at the end, he says, Thanks, Obama.
Nice.
That's good.
But yeah, so it's not, I wouldn't call the trailer, it's not like it's a disappointment.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no. It's just, like I said, it didn't really, like, I'm going to go see the movie, obviously. I keep on looking at Raleigh Grant.
When that's the problem. Everyone's going to go see it. Like, exactly, yeah. Who are they making these trailers for? You're not getting anyone excited for the movie who's not already excited for the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
Marketing is interesting these days.
Yeah.
But clearly some things do need marketing, but like this now, it's just like,
yeah.
You could just put on the screen the date and the title, and everyone would be like, oh.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, hopefully it's the last one. We do get the peak of Spider-Man. It's brief, but you get the whole glimpse of him. It's not like he just flies by real quick. I mean,
right, yeah.
You get him full on Spider-Man. Yeah.
The weapons look cool.
It was cool with him holding
holding
the shield. Captain Shield. That was pretty. Yeah. That was pretty neat.
Wait, maybe he's gonna be the new Captain America.
I'm the captain now.
I'm
the captain now.
Somebody made that meme.
The meme. Hey,
look at me. I'm the captain now.
But yeah, it was awkward, and it's weird because like Vision is CGI, and maybe it's just because they don't show him a lot.
Well, actually, yes and no. Because he is.
Well, you can see Paul Bettany. That is Paul Bettany for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it for me, and I wasn't the only one. Clearly, it was a little awkward. Just that full on CGI in your face with everything else clearly wasn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, Spider-Man in a Marvel movie, I'll be happy to see it.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah. They also did some casting for Spider-Man. Disney star Zendaya is going to be in the new Spider-Man movie at Sony. Okay. We don't know who she's going to be. They say she's going to be a character called named, quote, Michelle. So that is probably a red herring. But
P.S. Sony's going to fuck up Spider-Man again.
They may.
Yeah.
They may.
Yes, pretty much. Let's be honest. Everyone's going to get real excited for Spider-Man in the Marvel movie. But they're really trying to cross-pollinate.
That's the thing, because Matt and I talked about that on the last crossover podcast. And I think the way I understand the deal is that Spider-Man can be in, like, Avengers movies and stuff like that. But it's not the other way around. Like, Cap isn't going to show up in the new Spider-Man
movie. Right. They're not going to be able to fudge up
the other characters. The villains aren't going to cross-pollinate either, as far as I know.
That sucks a little bit.
It does. And the reason why it sucks is because we also talked about this, was the new Venom movie that they're talking about doing, which is going to apparently be, quote, unconnected to Spider-Man.
Doesn't work. That doesn't
make sense. There is no Venom without Spider-Man.
Do you know the origin story of Venom?
Why do you have a giant spider on your chest? No reason.
That's...
Why do you have powers like Spider-Man? No. So
have powers like
Spider Dude,
like a spider thing guy.
I do.
If there was a man who was a spider, you'd have powers like that.
I do. Yes. Oh.
So
So we'll see what happens with that garbage, but Sony's still gonna fuck it up.
They will. Right. They are. They don't. They just don't have. I don't know what they don't have, but they don't have it. Whatever it is, they don't have it. Anyway, so that's Civil War for you.
That's Civil War. That comes out May 6th. The 5th, really.
It's May 5th. Stop. It's Thursday, May 5th. Stop.
That's when we'll be seeing it. Yeah. Unless we get a screener. Because you need to have a screener to build up buzz for this movie. So stupid. I want to get a screener for Divergent because I really don't want to pay for that piece of shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane. Let's talk about that. This was a movie that nobody knew existed until January of this year.
Yeah. And speaking of trailers.
Yeah.
Phenomenal
trailer. Phenomenal
trailer. One of the best trailers I've seen in a long time for a movie.
Yeah, it was a great trailer. And very, I would say, pretty indicative of what the movie ended up being.
Yeah, for sure.
Except the last act. So, which
you
we
clearly hated that more than I did.
Well, I didn't hate it.
We'll get to it.
So... 10 Cloverfield Lane is what J.J. Abrams calls a, quote, blood relative of Cloverfield.
It is not.
And
what kind of blood relative are you talking about?
It's got
like,
no...
Like, It's like inbred four times over blood relative. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we'll warn you now. If you go into 10 Cloverfield Lane expecting to see the sequel to Cloverfield, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Yeah.
Not to be fair, no one is saying ever said it was a sequel.
No, nobody has. No. Nobody has. But even he's saying like, it's a spiritual successor. No, right. It's not.
It's really not.
It's got nothing to do with
honestly, Cloverfield. I'm not sure why you'd try to market it that way. I don't know. Unnecessary.
I mean, it doesn't have the same style. It doesn't have the same unknown actors. I mean, they're known now.
It's not like it has the same monsters or anything.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's just weird to consider that. According to Abrams, like, this isn't the last.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have more movies in this
universe?
I don't know. Universe. Whatever you want to call it. He's going to have these more Cloverfield
stories.
Deemed movies. I don't know.
Is going to be called Episode 9.
Well, my thing is, you could have easily somehow tied it together if you wanted to. Very simply.
Yeah.
Like Cloverfield, the original Cloverfield, that was like their, Cloverfield was the, their code word for what happened. This is the area where it happened, they call it Cloverfield.
Right.
But it was just a military name for, you know, what happened. In this movie, it's an actual street address. Cloverfield is the actual, which they kind of, it's weird that they show you that at the end as if that's like, oh, this is some tie-in. Like they reveal that as if it's,
not already the title
as if
the
it's
movie.
A twist of some kind, but it's not at all. It's like, I don't, like, why did you do that? But
that
anyway.
That would have helped if they had kept the original title of the movie, The Cellar, and then did that at the end, it would have made,
sort
of, been a nice,
but
nice
again,
twist.
Again, not the same universe at all because I asked you, I wonder if this will take place in 2008. Like
it
the
doesn't.
Same,
it
not
takes
at all.
Present
it's
day.
Present day.
Or 2015.
It's present day. There's no mention of anything that had happened previously.
Right.
Which can be fine because government probably tried to cover that shit up anyway.
Yeah, but it was in New York
How
City.
Can you?
It was in New York. Right. And it knocked the head off the Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
Somebody's going to see that.
So anyway... This in no way resembles the original Cloverfield.
Right.
I'm not, spiritually, I don't even understand why.
Right.
But, that said, it was a damn good movie.
It's a really good movie. So basically what happens is that there's only three people in the cast. I mean, there's a couple people here and there. Bradley Cooper is a voice on a phone, but that's it.
Very small budget movie.
And by the way, I guess, spoiler alert, I guess,
look,
you know.
Look, Room had more scenes in locale and cast than this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So spoiler alert, because I'm sure we're going to talk about the ending. So it starts out with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She plays Michelle, who gets into a fight with her boyfriend and then leaves town.
Well, you don't see her get into a fight.
Right.
You
just,
see,
it's
all...
her
aftermath.
Right.
She's packing up. She's
right.
She's
hitting. She's getting out of town. And then he calls. He's like, "Oh, we can work this out." Blah 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 blah.
You get the sense where that he was abusive. It's not.
Oh,
it's
you
not
got
mentioned.
That. Oh, you got that.
Completely got.
Oh,
the sense.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that sense.
Yeah, totally. But the way he kept apologizing, totally got the sense that the way she was crying in the apartment, like she just had enough.
I didn't get that. Because later she's like, she's always running away and stuff like that. So it's like I felt that it was just she just wasn't good. Conflict, basically, and she just, you know.
That might work.
That's what I
got the sense that he was abusive.
Okay, agree to not disagree or whatever. She leaves town. She's in rural Louisiana. She gets run off the road, basically, and gets into like a very violent car accident.
She definitely gets run off the road, but from our POV, we don't know how or what happened.
Right, exactly.
Just you. Her car jolts.
Right,
hits the road, fade to black.
Right,
kind of deal.
And, well, you see it flip over and all this shit. So, she wakes up in a room, a concrete room, with, like, a metal door.
Yeah.
And she's chained to the wall, her knees messed up, and she's attached to an IV. And then, John Goodman walks in. And he, gives her food, and then kind of, like, leaves. She tries to escape a couple times, and then he finally has the talk with her.
Yeah, well, and originally that annoyed me, because that annoys me about a lot of movies. It's like, this could be solved with a simple explanation of what's going on instead of like...
And what they should have done is they should have played her up as more hysterical. So he couldn't talk to her. He's like, okay, sure. You need a minute to get your shit together.
You'd think she would be more hysterical.
Yeah, right.
That's one of my main problem with the movie is her character, but we'll get into that in a minute. But it actually... So it's like, if you just explained it to her, you could solve a lot of these initial problems.
Right.
However, that said, seeing his character throughout the story, he operates on different cylinders, a whole different level than these other people.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense that he's just taken for granted. Look, I'm just, this is a duty. I'm here to fix you. Then I'm going to walk out and do my own thing and I'll come back to you. It makes sense with his character later, but.
So, she tries to escape a couple of times and then he finally tells her, look, there's nowhere for you to go.
Nowhere to
escape.
He
goes, I saved your life. You know, I got you out of your car and brought you here. And I brought you here because I found out there was an impending attack. And the air outside is toxic. And if you go outside, you'll die. And she doesn't believe him. She thinks he's full of shit until she meets the other guy.
Emmett,
played by John Gallagher Jr.
Who you might know from Newsroom.
Yeah, he was in the Newsroom. I'm glad his Newsroom girlfriend did not come along. That actress, she just annoys me. Yeah. I don't know if it was just the character or what, but she annoyed me.
The character was a little annoying.
So, he is like I guess you'd say a neighbor, I guess, technically, because he lives on a farm. So he's kind of like a neighbor.
He said, that's what he called himself. He says he was a neighbor.
Yeah, and he helped this guy, John Goodman, who plays Harold. He helped him build the bunker. And so he knew that when, and he confirms there was something happened.
Yeah, he explained to her that she's like, have you tried to get out? He's like, nah. He's like, I had to fight to get in.
Right.
Because I was trying to get in.
Right.
So he confirms that something did happen out there.
Right.
Some flash of light, and people were dying.
Right.
And so he, he needed to be in there.
They kind of settle into like this uneasy living arrangement.
And that's a good word for it, because it, as much as they think they know, she at least is still always uneasy.
Right. Like she doesn't believe any of it.
Yeah. And Goodman is not like he's a friendly guy. Like,
right. He's very unhinged.
Clearly.
He's a conspiracy theorist. He is very, he says he doesn't know who did the attack. He said it could have been a foreign element.
He thinks
it could have been alien. It could have been alien.
He says the Russians.
Right.
But then he also has theories about aliens, yeah.
And so he's very off-kilter. And he's also got a temper. So when things don't go the way he wants them to, he sets off
snaps,
like that.
Yeah.
If you've seen the trailer, you've seen the part where she smashes the bottle in his head, gets the keys. That's very early in the movie.
Yeah, that's actually, that's
about
not the 15, crux
20
of the
minutes
movie.
In the movie.
Yeah, that's really quick.
And then she goes upstairs of the bunker. She's about to open the door.
It's like she sees something.
She sees something that kind of confirms his story. Right. Then they kind of, like I said, they settle into like this weird living arrangement and they start finding things out about Harold that some of the things he's
told
them
don't quite match up.
They don't match up and they're not true.
Right.
And basically Emmett and Michelle feel that they have to get out.
Yeah.
And then they start to build a hazmat suit, basically.
Because she is a seamstress.
She's a fashion
from the beginning. That
right.
She knows her way around sewing.
Yeah, she's
my whole problem with that is if this were truly a doomsday bunker and this guy was as prepared as he was,
he would
have hazmat suits.
Yeah, he would, yeah.
Yeah.
If Walter White can get them, this guy can get them.
Oh, you could buy them off of
Amazon.
So, apparently you can make them out of any
shower curtain. Yeah, that's the thing. That's one of the things that bothered me about the movie, because it wasn't even so much the last act, it wasn't even the whole last ending of the movie. It's the fact that the movie was so grounded throughout, and then all of a sudden she builds this thing, which is clearly not really going to protect her all that much.
I'm not saying, I don't know. To a degree, a hazmat suit is just a sealed suit that filters.
It is.
Oxygen,
I mean,
so.
I thought like Zephyr Zachariah did it a lot more realistically.
Right.
Where like he created his suit and like it was like, but then like as soon as he took
it off, hose with it,
right? And, soon as he took it off, she had to like fucking. Yeah. And of course, he went in the water.
Now that being said, it's not like she's assuming that she's going to be safe. She's just doing something
right
to get out of there,
to get to civilization, right, quote unquote. Right. That's true. So now we're gonna go full spoiler alert.
It's a twist. Twist, but not a huge. Like,
it is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It is, but it isn't. And you know what it kind of reminded me of a little bit? The movie I'm going to mention did it a lot more subtly. Enemy. Because you and I still debate what the ending of Enemy really means.
Yeah.
Like, was it really an alien invasion? Well, or was it really... Was it all in his head?
I think that was way more... subtle in a metaphor than this. I think this is straight up.
Right. So what I'm saying is like they were saying stuff like that in Enemy. They're like, oh, well, the spider people came into the, and it's like in this case, everything Harold basically said is true.
It's true.
It is aliens.
As I described it, I think at the end of the movie to you guys, he was a demented man who happened to get it right.
Yeah, he was a crackpot who got it right. You know, and
that's all it was.
Yeah, and Dan Aykroyd. And it's like these weird, like worm creatures, sort of. And
I get the feeling they're different kinds, but yes,
right, yes. And these aliens use like a crop duster thing to basically poison humanity.
It's almost like they're giant exterminators,
right? And yeah, that's very good. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then Michelle has to fight off these things to get away, and she uses the old Tom Cruise War of the Worlds escape plan.
I mean, honestly,
which I didn't buy at all.
I didn't buy it all either. That's
it got
problem.
That was my problem so with the movie.
It would have even worked better if she had found some form of an arsenal that he had in there. Oh, there's a grenade launcher. Something
right.
A little more that's believable that could have been used.
Right.
And clearly, he probably would have had weird stuff like
that.
So if she had gotten her hands on that, that would have made more sense to me.
Right.
Than what actually happened.
Right. Yeah. And the it's like I said, it went from like this movie that was a very grounded psychological thriller to schlocky sci-fi horror.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't go so far as to call it schlocky. I know you use that word in your review.
Right.
I wouldn't go that far. It was problematic, but I didn't. Given that it was building up to that, mm-hmm. It's not like it came out of nowhere.
No, that's true. That's true. And I didn't hate it. It's just that I was like,
it certainly could have been done better. I felt
it went. Yeah, because I felt that the
I feel like at that point they were just. It was almost like you just got to get the movie done.
Right.
You know, yeah. It was a little rushed.
Right. And the other thing I kind of commented on my review is that the plot felt like it wasn't enough to really sustain a whole movie. It felt like it was like a short story that they kind of like teased out to make it longer.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
They kind of stretched it out
honestly,
a little too much.
They could have, I wouldn't necessarily want them to do this because the best part of the movie, of course, is when they're in the bunker.
Right.
They could have condensed the bunker stuff because not a whole lot happens. It's all psychological.
Right.
And then had her more roaming around figuring out shit out in the world.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Almost that's your second act, right?
Right,
The whole, instead of, yeah, I know we say that the third act here is what happens in the end, but I mean, it's very condensed.
Oh, yeah.
It happens
very
quick.
Yeah, it's very quick.
And it almost could have served this movie better had there still been some mystery when she was walking out trying to figure shit out.
Right, you know? Exactly.
But man, the first three quarters of that movie is psychologically
it's great.
Terrifying and great.
And John Goodman
phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. And I would argue he should be nominated for an Oscar.
He was
fantastic.
Really good.
He really reminds you in this movie just what a great actor he is. I mean, he totally became this guy, this character. And he is so subtle and creepy. And
the big twist in this movie, for me, I thought the big twist in this movie was that the twist wasn't the aliens. The twist happens in the bunker.
Right.
More than once. Like, mm-hmm. It keeps getting turned on its head, mm-hmm. how you feel about John Goodman.
Right.
And to me, that was the twist of the movie, as opposed to, oh, there are aliens, which mm-hmm. I kind of took for granted that was going to mm-hmm. be the case anyway.
Right.
Given the reason is, of course, because they say this is
a spiritual, spiritual.
Of course, you assume that they're aliens in the movie.
I wonder if Super 8 is also part of the Cloverfield universe.
You know what? That that actually, I didn't even think about this before, that actually is probably the biggest mistake of tying it to Cloverfield, is that you already assume that there are going to be aliens in it.
Right.
Because that takes that twist away.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. But the movie's still really good. And like you said, the movie being, honestly, John Goodman.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah. So John Goodman is fantastic.
He's really good. He goes from, he has these glimpses of being happy.
Right.
To basically most of the movie just being this, trying to be a stoic guy. Right. He's stoic, but you can tell he's just basically trying to keep something at bay.
Right, yeah.
Basically.
Right.
And, you know, the reason, I guess I don't want to give away that twist, but, I think it was clear that she was there on purpose in the end.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. I think he wanted.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the other reveal was.
The reason, though, how she gets.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Totally, yeah. Now, you said you had a problem with her character.
Oh, right. They don't give her a whole lot of background story. So you don't know much about her. But she is way too MacGyvery. Like, she can just, within seconds, fix anything out of anything. And solve these problems way too conveniently.
And everything. And you're right. She wasn't suitably freaked out when she was in that room.
No. She woke up, she's like, huh. And then she immediately starts problem solving.
Right. Yeah.
Like no sense of, oh my God, what the fuck? Yeah. She just immediately starts problem solving.
Yeah, you would have thought that, I mean, even though the walls are concrete, you would have thought she would have started banging on the wall saying, hey, what's going on?
So her character was, she didn't play it badly, but given her those convenient attributes to everything was a little bit much for me.
When she goes in the vents, I was like, super claustrophobic. I was like,
He's like, oh no, you gotta climb up now. And he's like, oh, I was like, fuck.
That's not happening.
TV dinner feels like.
Yeah. Nice. Which is funny because she played his daughter the fourth one.
Yes, she did.
So that's 10 Cloverfield Lane. It's definitely worth your time.
Yeah.
Go see a double feature. Go see that and then go cheer yourself up by going to see Zootopia.
Definitely. It's interesting because this movie could have served just well being the psychological thriller that it
exactly,
was.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine that way.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It really was.
Yeah, really good. And it's basically first-time director.
Yeah, so Dan Trachtenberg, yeah. Did a good job. One of the writers, one of the screenwriters, because there was two guys that wrote the screenplay, that wrote the story, and then they got help on the screenplay from Damien Chazelle, who was the writer-director of Whiplash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he was involved with this as well.
Cool.
So definitely check out 10 Cloverfield Lane. And if you're online tooling around, go check out the international trailer for Ghostbusters. Go see them both, but watch the international trailer first, because I think that one's funnier. And then, of course, you've probably already seen the Civil War trailer, because...
Who hasn't?
10 billion people.
Have you been on Facebook? Okay.
Yeah, you've seen it. And that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. We'd like to thank Jason and Matt for not showing up. And hopefully they'll be here next time.
See you later.
See you.